Splendid. Meanwhile,
this is the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. And in the studio we have Jessica Ward and Sophie Grayson. Fantastic. No relation, of course, to Richard Grayson, who, of course, is the alter ego of Nighthawk, or indeed Robin in the original Batman series. At least not that she's admitted to as yet.
I do have an Uncle Richard.
You see? You see? And you're prone to sort of save people in your life-saving capabilities.
Yes. Touch wood, I haven't had to save anybody yet.
This is it. Yeah.
I've only been working since Monday.
Clearly. I don't know, Jimmy Nail bursting in with Big River. We can't have that. Not on this show anyway. But clearly we had that sort of notion there that had Helen Slater been able to sort of channel her Supergirl and indeed Mother of Superman connection, it would have been superb. But we haven't. So life continues, and good news works in every sense of the word, because Rose of Summer is the latest selection from Penny Evans. Lots of new music today. We've had Cameron Tilbury, obviously, with Joe Lee at Tilbury. We've had some Helen Slater material. And, of course, we've also moved on to, yes, I'll mention it again, the amazing Biscuit Badgers, or at least Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers. We might play them tomorrow, then again, we may not. Well, I suppose we'll have to if we're interviewing the breathing is good. But Rose of Summer has been put together by a composer in Denmark called Ulrik Klistrom. That's Ulrik Klistrom. And also lyrics by an Australian. I'm sorry to mention that. Yeah, lyrics by an Australian.
Those pesky Australians getting everywhere.
Demelia Denton. Oh, yeah, it's a line from that. Jessica has a New Zealand allegiance, so you can tell that we don't really mention the A word unless we have to. This is Penny Evans with her interpretation of the latest song she's actually put together. She may be back now. She said she's been out this afternoon, hopes to get back for 6 p.m.-ish. But if you're not, that's always the podcast thing. Southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Rose of Summer is the title of the tune. This is Penny Evans, as composed by Demelia Denton and Ulrik Kilström. It was for the Southern Hemisphere, really, Rose of Summer, given that we're into autumn now. It would be Rose of Spring. Anyway, well done. Another Penny Evans classic there. We'll probably hear more of Penny's magic as the whole thing proceeds. Coming up very shortly, Native Voices at the Autry are coming up their fourth annual short play festival, Cut Short. New short plays by Native American playwrights exploring the Indian boarding school experience and its effect on young lives, families, communities, culture, and contemporary Indian education. One of the playwrights will, of course, receive the 2014 Von Marie Achley Excellence in Playwriting Award, which is a $1,000 cash prize, which is about £500. That and more will be spoken of with the legend that is Randy Reinholtz after Casey Musgrave's Silver Lining. November is when you look at the Adventures in Broadcasting, Siren of Herman, Midweek Drive, Southside Broadcasting calendar, you see that actually it's Randy Reinholtz and Gene Bruce Scott month.
Hi, it's Randy Reinholtz, co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Autry. You're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
Now, would that be the same Randy Reinholtz of whom it is said?
Randy Reinholtz, the best director of community engagement and innovative programs from San Diego State University you could ever wish to connect with, and bringing Native American voices to the world via the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Would that be you, Randy Reinholtz?
Oh, smiling and happy to be with you, Alex.
There you go. Fantastic stuff. And a quick introduction, because you haven't met the Midweek Drivettes as yet, at least telephonically. That would be Sophie Grayson and Jessica Ward.
Hi, Sophie and Jessica.
Hi.
There you are. You're very excited. We've been looking at Native Voices at the Autry, of course, and the fourth annual Short Play Festival, Cut Short, of course, which starts off this Sunday at 1:30 p.m. on November the 9th, 2014. Sponsored, of course, we'll give shameless plugs to the wonderful San Manuel Band of Mission Indians, the Artworks people, the Walt Disney Company, Sony Pictures, Edison, of course, Stephen... We always like to name check the sponsors, Randy, so feel free to mention the sponsors as frequently as you want, really. Off you go.
Thank you so much. What a great list of sponsors. Those are big companies here in the U.S. for us. So
absolutely.
That's fun to hear. I'm associated with Native Voices.
Precisely.
I love that delightful pop song playing before we started talking. Thank you for that.
It's a nice Kacey Musgraves number, and she's a fine
Kacey
singer.
Kacey Musgraves.
Exactly.
I shall write that down.
There you are. See, it all connects together.
So the Short Play Festival is coming up this week, and our whole year this year is dedicated to a very difficult chapter in American history. It's called the American Indian Boarding School Movement. My guess is Sophie and Jessica are of an age where they'd say, no, never really heard of that. I'm curious, have you heard of the Indian boarding schools in the United States?
No, I've never come across it before.
Great. Well, boarding school kind of sounds not so bad, right? It's a school you go away to sleep. Rich people do it with their kids. Well, there was this process in the United States that started in the mid-1880s and went through the Depression in the 1930s. And it was the goal was save the Indian, save the man, and kill the Indian. And it was in response to, have you heard of a movie called The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Wizard of Oz. So Frank Baum, the L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, I'm going to read you a quick statement of his from the 1880s. The whites, by law of conquest, by justice of civilization, are masters of the American continent. And the best way to safety of the frontier settlers will be secured by the total annihilation of the few remaining Indians. Why not annihilate them? Their glory has fled, their spirit broken, their manhood effaced. Better that they die than live the miserable wretches they are. And this was...
somewhat harsh, I'd have to say. Never mind.
This is the common sentiment that was running through the United States. We just keep burying these parts of our history. We still haven't really dealt with having slaves, and we haven't dealt with stealing the land. And so how can we have education, and how could you have entertainment, oh my gosh, about such a dark subject that is purposely hidden in all the school books? So we were trying to come up with lots of ways to address this. We have scholars working on it. We're holding forums. We have a large community in Los Angeles, over 100,000 Native American people in Los Angeles, who are coming out in support of these kinds of events we'd like truth and reconciliation on, and we don't know how to move it forward. It's hard to just stand in the corner and accuse people, but we have all these terrible things happening that we don't know what to attribute them to, and I wonder if it's willful ignorance.
And it's in many ways, it is that sort of interesting take. I'm just actually showing a Facebook photo of yourself and, of course, the fabulous Jean Bruce Scott, also co-founder of Native American Voices, Native Voices at the Autry, and some bloke who's hosting Midweek Drive and a sort of part of Lincolnshire.
Yay, love it, Alex.
Well, there you are. But Sophie, you're an English and drama student. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a real kind of message. I mean, that we often forget in terms of how drama can begin to at least explore the challenge images that you've got in a situation where I suppose, you know, folk would actually rather forget it ever happened, really. But, you know, a dreadful line when you think of L. Frank Baum's sort of connection there.
Oh, definitely. But you look at the amount of theatre that's been created around tragedy and around especially sort of how appropriate this year with World War One, with the centenary. And some of the most beautiful pieces of theatre can come from the most horrific tragedies. And I think especially with American playwrights, they're definitely ones for dealing with stuff head on.
Well, Arthur Miller certainly did it with The Crucible.
Exactly.
That was all about the McCarthy witch hunts. Different line entirely, really, yeah, from that point of view. Randy, when you actually...
Well, that's been part of the reason to bring this up now is because of education, what's happening in education. And, you know, so much of the current wars that are happening around the world, people are quick to say, oh, we will educate those. And then we start to talk about who would be educated. And you think about some of the terrible tragedies that have happened really in the last few months of these young students in different schools, particularly in Boko Haram, and the group that just, I don't know if it made your news cycles or not, but we had over 40 students kidnapped in Mexico. And they were all studying and learning, quote-unquote, the proper way, and those ways of teaching didn't align with the militants who kidnapped them, and they found them in a mass grave. And you think, well, these struggles are still going on, you know, we prosecute these wars thinking we're really going to go fix those other societies. And you think about how much conflict, war, is being waged right at this minute over this exact same issue. And you think, well, shouldn't we just look at this little piece of history to say what's going on now, too?
This really reminds me of a film I once watched called The Rabbit Proof Fence. And it's about
beautiful film.
Oh, it's a lovely film. Very deep. It's about how the Aborigines were persecuted by the whites as well. And so, history is definitely important to look at. It's reoccurring, isn't it?
Yeah, that was exactly the same. As a matter of fact, that system that happened in both Australia and Canada was based on the U.S. system. And ironically, it had been debunked and the U.S. Government quit funding it about the time Canada and Australia employed it. So while it was so brutal, it also was effective in, cultural genocide.
An interesting shift in tone, and something which, again...
Can we talk about something lighter? Help us, Alex. Help us,
well, please. I'm thinking, Randy, what about the excitement that maybe, just maybe, fingers crossed, touchwood, etc., yourself and Jean and the native voices at the Autry may be heading this side of the Atlantic again sometime in 2015? Maybe even, if we can swing it, possibly performing at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Love that. We are actually pursuing some funding to see if we can make that happen. We've got the perfect project. We're seeing if we can narrow it. It's a play we've adapted of Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, and now it's reset in the Old West and against the backdrop of this Indian boarding school. And Sophie mentioned, you know, staging tragedy, and people would talk about this idea of how do we stage atrocity, cultural genocide atrocity. And our take on that particular piece is how much comedy can we find in the situation.
You've got to have a laugh, haven't you? You've got to have a laugh, Randy. Them. That's the important thing. Have a laugh. You know, when...
We do. We have to meet these people. We have to figure out what makes them funny and why and what their situations are. And we've sort of moved the story out of the boarding school into... The leadership of government, much like Shakespeare does, and much like Shakespeare does, into the brothels and the pubs. And we've sort of put the sex workers in charge of the salvation plot. And it's completely ridiculous and funny. And, you know, we've got music. Buffalo Bill's coming in to audition new acts for his Wild West show. So every crazy person that can sing or play or use a bullwhip or a lasso or do a hoop dance is all coming out. And, you know, it's ridiculous and funny. And so can we have that big production in Los Angeles, which will open February 28th? We want to scale it down to take it to reservations. That's the plan. So could we do it with five actors and put a bit more of a show within a show, but basically cover the same material and the best stuff. And then that would be the piece we come to Lincoln with.
Mm-hmm. So isn't it wonderful that, you know, they test run it in the United States before they actually sort of bring it onto it? It's fantastic. It's genius.
Can't show you our second-rate Shakespeare. Don't know what we're doing.
That's very true indeed. It's like post-colonial science fiction literature, really, except it's not necessarily science fiction. It's fiction. We're looking at the image of Thomas Moore, no relation to the creator of Utopia, of course, on the Native Voices at the Autry. And it really is quite a shocking kind of combination of how we actually see really a kind of westernization. A Europeanization and change of what we actually have there. I mean, Jessica, just describe what we actually see in terms of that image of the boy at the time.
Well, there's an original photo, if you want to call it that, of an Indian boy dressed up in kind of
Native
Indian
American
fashion.
Garb.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And and the photo next to it, he's wearing pretty much a suit.
Yes.
And a very civil background.
And that whole notion of the civilization of the savage, which is something, I mean, Sophie, we've talked about in seminars, etc., that comes through. It's very much at the heart of this. And yet, intrinsically, you know, maybe it's wrong. You know, it's not an interference directive. Maybe we need to sort of look at the sort of system. I mean, Randy, share with us your own background, because it's Choctaw and roots from that, your own sort of background in terms of your Native American roots.
Yes, Choctaw is on the Indian side, and then I'm Irish, German, and through talking all of these stories through, drum roll please, there are British ancestors.
It's a great mixture there.
Exactly. And Sophie, of course, after you'd done Camp America over the summer, you did indeed touch base at San Diego.
I did. I did California, and what I loved about San Diego was the old Spanish town. And I went and I did candle dipping and all of the traditional stuff. And I think it shows that even in California, where there's so much industry nowadays, which is celebrity, that you can still find a thriving city that is so traditional and still so beautiful.
We used to say things like, well, we've only had America for 200 years. Nothing existed before 200 years ago. And I think that's a big part of our work, is to help open those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Next time we talk, I'll have posts on the Facebook of the Pawnee Village that's in what's called Genoa, Nebraska today. Genoa is how you might say it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pawnee Village was there until 1870s. There were over 1,000 people living on that same site, and the structures are very intricate, and it's fascinating what that city was, and we have actual historical photos of the city that we're able to use. And of course, when we basically tried to bulldoze that history, we'd like to say, well, nothing was here until, you know, finally the Europeans came and put something here. And anyway, I think talking about the whole of the tradition, you know, what is our evolution? What are we as people, and what did we come from? I love it when people talk about English history and they talk about, well, it was this, and then the Vikings came, and then it was this, and then the Normans came, and then there was a lot more self-determination, and then there were lots of civil wars within what kind of self-determination. I love that. That owning of the whole history rather than just the little pieces of, you know, the last 2 weeks when things were good.
Although it's fair to say, Randy, that there are a number of revisionists who'd probably like to rewrite some of the migrant history that we've actually had. So. No names.
Well, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, but there is some owning that. I mean, I was really relieved when I heard that relics, you know, the relics that are in all the churches. Mm. And when I kept asking, well, what do you mean the saints? Relics, what are we talking about?
Bits and bones and things.
And I was like, oh, you too cut people up and put them out for display. Okay, well, that's where it comes from.
Standard thing, you know, it's great entertainment to actually go and see public execution. A matter of course, really. Many people would actually say, bring back the guillotine, but still, perhaps not. It's another tale for another time. Randy, how do people actually get actively involved with Native Voices at the Autry if they're thinking of flying over? I mean, obviously, in fact, actually, what time of day is it now? Because I'm a bit confused. I suspect, is it quarter past, coming up to 90 minutes past 11 a.m. over in San Diego at present?
Past 10 a.m.
Oh, it's past 10. Right.
Yes.
This could have confused Helen Slater no end, you see. We might have actually come to her too soon or too early. I don't know. It's very confusing.
And a perfectly blue sky out there. I have a group of artists doing a public art installation. It's a really fun vibe today.
You see, this is marvelous. Because, I mean, our clocks went back this side of the Atlantic. So we kind of gained an hour a week or so ago. And I think you haven't changed to British time. Obviously, you wait until the Republicans have moved back into the White House to actually sort of change the time clocks again. Sorry, only kidding,
thank
President
God
Obama. But we couldn't go without mentioning at least one sort of reference to the whole thing. Unbelievable, but still, never mind. It means you've got 2 years before Hillary Clinton takes over, but still, what the heck. Personally, as you know, Randy, I'm starting the campaign for Jean Bruce Scott for president. I'm just thinking it's there. It's there. President Jean, I think it would work perfectly. Yeah. But that's by the by. He's gone very quiet now. Still, never mind. Yes. He would be the equivalent of the first lady. No, he'd be it's a line forward. Moving on, of course, you can go to Native Voices at the Autry. Just type that into the schedule. Or fingers crossed to say you will be back over this side of the Atlantic before too long. But Jessica, would you like to bowl those last two questions to Randy as it's now 20 past 10 a.m.? Actually, that's curious, actually, because so it's 20 past 10, it's 10:20 a.m. Sorry to confuse people about time here, this particular instance. But it's 20 past 6 here on Siren. I thought it would actually be either 20 past 11 or 20 past 9. Have the clocks changed without just letting us know?
Yes, that's happened. A little conspiracy. Something for the midweek fund.
Yes. Exactly. Anyway, Jessica, time notwithstanding, that curious sort of scenario here. Last two questions for Professor Randy Reinholtz, please.
Have you enjoyed this week's midweek drive?
Yes, I have. I hope I haven't been too dark for your listeners.
Oh, no.
I think it's added a certain relevance to her. I mean, listen, earlier in the show we had to deal with the album Dinosaurs Ate My... Yeah, so you ate my whole routine, and indeed biscuit head and the biscuit sort of badges. So it's a whole routine from that point of view. So yes, it's moved on to a different level, which is important. And out of that, we were talking about accents, and I was very tempted to actually go into, for me, the quintessential Cockney accent has to be Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. Ultimately, you know, the essence. And I do hope, Randy, with your drama students at San Diego, you always use Dick Van Dyke's interpretation as a classical way of channeling real Englishness.
Absolutely. And Penguins, the same movie. You can do both things.
Exactly. Penguins and Dick Van Dyke. Genius. And the next question, Jessica, is?
Will we be hearing from you in the future?
Oh, I hope.
I think we're going to do a post-Thanksgiving thing, actually, if that's okay, given that, obviously, we don't really talk about Native Americans and Thanksgiving. It's a different issue entirely. But still, you know, we'll get something sorted out this side of Christmas, I'm sure.
We love our irony.
The Pierces and Creation. Okay, so far we've actually covered Cameron Tilbury live from Nashville with, of course, a Joe Lear Tilbury number. We featured Anna Lewis live from Jersey. We found out a bit about how basically being generous and positive can actually make you feel good. It makes perfect sense from Dr. David Lewis and Friends from Fox's Biscuits. We had Randy Reinholtz talking about a variety of things. Didn't feature Helen Slater, but we did, of course, feature Penny Evans' fantastic musical tune, of course, written by the Danish Soul and others. And Penny Evans is indeed tuned in now, hearing something about dinosaurs who ate my... Do you know, I can't actually make out my writing. It's ate something here, but we'll find that. We'll find out tomorrow morning, actually. It'll go on the podcast. Dinosaurs who ate something from that point of view. But she's tuned in. So hello, Penny. Marvellous stuff there. Hopefully Emma is still sort of tuned in there. And a bit of a shout-out, of course, to Francesca, a.k.a. Frankie Booth. Who, of course, would have been here, but she was called away. Was she not, Sophie?
Yes, she was.
There we are. Online now, a young man who is going to share with us how he kind of went through the sheer agony of a TV audition process for a reality television show. He's only 14. It's Ryan Clayton. Ryan, how are you? Welcome to the Midweek Drive.
I'm good, thank you.
Marvellous. And are you 14, or have we been given duff information? Are you saying, no, I'm actually 54?
No, I am definitely 14.
He is definitely 14, so it's not up. He's not past his bedtime. Sorry, only kidding, Ryan, don't worry. But we do have the fabulous Sophie and Jessica on board here, either of whom, and probably both of whom, will be fascinated finding out about this recent reality TV audition process. Sophie, would you like to take the conversation with Ryan a couple of notches further forward?
Sure. So, Ryan, which show is it that you actually auditioned for?
I auditioned to the programme called Show Me What You're Made Of.
Mm-hmm. So what did your audition entail?
So I, first of all, had to do a application form that I printed off the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of months later, I just forgot all about it, and I got a phone call saying, well done, we'll phone you back later on this week and give you a phone interview. So that's what happened.
Fantastic. That's amazing. So if you actually got on to show, what would you have had to have been doing?
So I would have gone to Africa because this series would have taken me there, or to other series because they were casting for two series, mm-hmm. one in England and one abroad. So you'd work in sweatshops and factories to see what it would be like and experience the poorer people of the world, pretty much.
Oh, wow. So a real sort of definite meaning behind all of this.
Yes.
So how far through the audition process did you get?
I got right to the end. So I literally just got turned down in the last 30 people.
Oh, gosh. So almost.
Almost. She could have almost gone to those sweatshops of India.
Congratulations for getting that far.
Really well done.
Round of applause for Ryan for getting so far down the line. And I'm sure it's just another short step before he actually sort of becomes a legend, because his brothers and sisters already are, apparently. It's very good. By the way, Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers, Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan. Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan.
Caravan.
It's very important. I don't know if you've encountered Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers, Ryan, but if you haven't, I'm sure you soon will do. Mustache-powered troubadours, as indeed they're classified. It's a possibility. So, Ryan, where do you see your career developing? I mean, obviously you're 14 now, so the best years of your life are behind you. So, you know, clearly after that, you know, where are you likely to be heading? Will it be university? Will it be sort of drama college, school, etc.? What's the plan? What's the forte?
So I'm thinking of going to the area of media. I haven't really decided yet, but I'm giving a shot of going into two school plays, and one's on in 2 weeks today.
And do we know what those school plays actually are?
So one is The Trojan Woman.
Yeah.
And the other one's Anything Goes, a musical.
Oh, I love that.
You could actually do it. Well, in fact, you are doing both, but just be confused. You could be very confused, you know, where in olden days it's simply shopping, you know, now these days a glimpse of stocking, etc. And then suddenly you're into The Trojan Woman. What's The Trojan Woman about?
So it's quite dark. So it's set back after when Troy was devastated. Yeah. And I'm a god. So at the beginning, I'm talking to another god, Athene, about how my town I spent all my effort on has been destroyed. Mm-hmm. And then it's a whole load of just devastation happening to people. So someone's four-year-old son dies and it gets chucked off the city walls.
Are you Neptune?
I'm Poseidon.
Oh, Poseidon, sorry, that's Roman. Ah, sorry, got it wrong.
But still, God of the Sea. Nicely put together. Yeah. Well done. Nice to see that New Zealand classical education is as strong as ever. Well done, Jessica. That's great stuff there. Yeah, so, I was quite right, really. I mean, once you've actually been Poseidon, where do you go after that, really? You know, it's moving to all sorts of things. And what's your role in Anything Goes?
I'm a backing singer, and I'm also a steward for someone on the cruise ship.
Wow. Well, good luck to both
break a leg.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ryan, you might like to quiz either Jessica or Sophie. Sophie, of course, is doing a degree in English and drama, finally, etc. About maybe some advice that Sophie could probably provide for you. Because after all, Sophie, you've worked extensively with American students over in Camp America.
Yeah.
And that's enough to traumatise anybody. So, you know, this could be the moment where you could influence young Ryan Clayton into a whole new path. No pressure.
No pressure.
Ryan, questions from yourself, please.
So what's it like when you're like studying the drama in university?
It's a lot harder work than people assume it is. You say, oh, I study drama, and everyone has a little giggle and says, oh, it's not a proper degree, but...
Well, then they are fools.
Exactly.
Quite clearly, fools
so
and
be prepared,
imbeciles.
Be prepared to work harder than you have in your life and to throw away any feelings of, oh, I can't do that, I look silly, because you will look the silliest that you ever have, but you will have the best time ever.
Yeah. And if all else fails, think of Sarah Huntley and her theme tune. fantastic. Penny Evans would like to say she missed the airing of her song, but thanks for playing it. She'll check it out on the podcast later. So many delights you can actually do. In fact, Ryan can actually tell all his mates. He can say, I mean, he tried to get online, couldn't quite succeed, but, you know, it'll all be there, etc. Oh, yes, we did give credit to the composer, did we not? And the lyricist from Denmark, etc. Like I say, such talented folk. Well done. Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan. Absolutely right. Yeah. Wonderful checkout thing there. Ryan, it's been splendid touching base with a good soul. Sarah Huntley will actually be giving us notes on this performance tomorrow morning at 8 a.m, probably just before you go off to school. But two final questions need to be asked. And Sophie, go for it. Ask Ryan those last two questions.
So, Ryan, did you enjoy your time on Siren FM with us today?
Mm. Yes, very much so. A great experience.
Fantastic. And we'll be hearing from you maybe post or post...
Post Poseidon.
Post Poseidon. I was going to say Neptune again.
Neptune, Poseidon. Just make sure you got the trident the right way around, otherwise you could do somebody some serious damage. You know, health and safety. They don't know where they're going. I think a round of applause for Ryan Clayton. Yes. In fact, I'm even going to give him a reward, which I haven't even offered to Sophie. Is it? Ryan, have you got any particular musical favourites that you'd like us to see if they're on the machine at present? Any particular musical favourite that you like?
I like Imagine Dragons.
You like
Oh,
Imagine.
Good choice.
Yes.
Very good.
See, obviously it's keeping in with the whole thing. Of course, dragons, not necessarily imaginary, because as Anne McCaffrey would actually say, they are indeed real. Unless, of course, you stop believing in them, and a bit okay, like fairies, they cease to actually be there from that. So, are we talking Radioactive? Are we talking Hear Me? Are we talking It's Time, On Top of the World, or Demons? What would you like, Ryan?
Can I have Radioactive, please?
Yay, good choice.
From, of course, a good movie as well. The soundtrack, of course, is featured on The Host. There we are. That's The Host. You've been listening to The Midweek Drive, featuring young 14-year-old Ryan Clayton making his show debut. Yay! This is Imagine Dragons and Radioactive. Go!